Once again, I stand humbly before you guys this morning. As they was ministering this morning, all the songs they were singing about was all about Jesus Christ, if everybody got that. They sang a song, we lift him up, he is our daily bread. Lord, I give you my heart, soul, and I live for you alone. I'm encouraged by that, because that was my message this morning. My message is all about Jesus Christ. As I'm not used to this, this is kind of new still to me, but as we shared last time, I spoke to you about Kayla. Everybody remember that? And one thing I forgot to mention, because I was looking at my notes, it said, I wanted to ask, who had the determined mind to finish strong after the message? Anybody went home and read the story about Caleb and all the scriptures I gave out? I hope they did and came up and made up their minds to finish strong. My desire this morning as we come together in God's Word is to go back to the beginning and set our heart and focus and our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Here's the reason why we're here today. Here's the reason why we move and have our being. He is the source of life. He is the great I am. He is our daily bread. God's been good to me and my family ever since I've known Him. Through my ups and downs, He's been my daily bread. He's taking care of us like no one else can. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5, please. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him, who He is. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us all. Father, we thank You for this time, Lord, as we come together in fellowship, Lord, in Your Word. We pray, Lord God, that this Word, O God, pierces our hearts and minds, O God, and we know that we are able to lift You up, O Lord God. And as we lift You up, we would draw all men unto Yourself. Father, that's how we came, O Lord God. We looked up and saw You, O Lord God, on that cross, Lord. And You shed Your blood, O Lord God, for us. To bring us back to You, O God. We thank You for this time, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the love of God. It is important for us to know the love of God. When we realize the love of God, we can see ourselves as He sees us. Love of God is not conditional. It's not based on how we behave. It's not based on what we do or how we act. His love is just there. His love is there always. When we mess up and when we're doing good, His love is there. And I believe that as we understand that, we get to grasp that thought about God's love, we find freedom and liberty. For the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom or liberty. To understand that, you know what? No matter if I messed up, I could still come to His throne of grace to receive mercy. And I could come boldly before Him. Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. We come to know His liberty and His freedom, and there is no more burdens, no more struggles. We can find rest in Him. We can cease from all our works and find rest in Him. Today, about maybe 11 years or so already, I still have this urge. I still have this thriving. I still have this push. I have like my own revival, as we can say. There is something in my spirit every day that I do not want to lose. I do not want to quench the Spirit. I want to walk in His Spirit. There's something always in the inside of me that if I get an opportunity, I share Christ and say, you know what? Jesus Christ loves you. I started playing basketball with some of the guys on Saturdays. We meet. And I'm taking an opportunity to present Christ there. There's a young man, his name is Timothy. His son Caleb. And it was last week, last time I was with you, I shared about Caleb. And there was a simple thing I said, what's his name? He said, Caleb. And I said, wow, that's amazing. I got to share my first message about Caleb last time I was here. And we started talking about the things of God. As believers, we should continue daily to just partake of Christ. To live out the purpose that He's given us. The desires that we have in our hearts. The Spirit of God moves us and compels us to keep on going. To keep on persevering. To make up our mind and say, I am going to finish strong. We can say we have fought the good fight. We have finished the race. Here I am, Lord. That's my desire. To this day, I still feel the same. Hallelujah. In verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was you and I. We should give Him praise and honor just for that. Because the God of the universe, the creator of everything, took out His time, made a plan back in Genesis that we could stand here before Him this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for liberty. Thank you for your love, which surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. We could come and understand that we were dead in our trespasses. We were guilty and we had to pay the price for our sin. But God. How many times do you come across those two words in the Bible? But God, who is rich in mercy. But God, who loved us. Not that we love Him, that He first loved us. That He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Rose of Sharon, our healer, our conqueror, our deliverer. Hallelujah. In Colossians 2:14 says, who wiped out that handwriting of ordinance that was against us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, making a show about it. Yes, He did this, but it's on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus, church. We lift Jesus Christ up, we will draw men unto Himself. It's all about Jesus. No matter what we do in life, we could do many things we know we could do. But none of that matters. What matters most is what you do for Christ. That will last for eternity. Jesus said in the book of John 15:13, trust me, when I was home, people say I used to bring too many scriptures and stuff like that when I get to share individuals and stuff like that, but I just like the word. And as I, when I first came to Christ in the whole year, I was emotionally high. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to share, talk, but I wasn't reading the word. First year, so I was like going straight up. But you know what? Emotions wear off. It comes down. And then when I realized that there is power in the Word of God, there's power in the Word of God to set me free. There's power in the Word of God to keep me strong. There's things God has called me to do that I don't have to do myself. He said, be holy as I am holy. It's not based on us. It's based on Him. He's the one who begun the good work in us, and He shall complete it. Jesus said in the book of John 15:13, no greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, you and I. It continued to say that no longer we are called servants, but friends. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. And now we are called friends. We sing about it every day. I'm a friend. I can't sing. My daughter says I can't sing. But I think I can sing. But I won't let you guys... I won't do that to you guys. Now, we are called friends, and the Bible says that He, as now that we're called friends, He has told everything to us that pertains to the Father. For it says the servant does not know what the master is doing, but his friends know what he's doing. It's all about Jesus. It's not about songs we sing, our status, our denomination, our religion. It's all about Christ. Somewhere along the line, some of us has forgotten that. And if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be in the kingdom that pastors talks about every Sunday. Talks about the kingdom. Kingdom living. Kingdom thinking. Kingdom. I would never say pastor talked about the same thing every Sunday. Because he's trying to get us to a point to move on to the next. And pastors are not blind. They see just as well as I see. And some of us, not all of us, and not only here, but over there, the church is conforming more to the world. The world's pulling our children to themselves. We don't stand up anymore. We don't be heard. So once God, we really have this kingdom mentality, knowing who we are, that we are loved, that we are righteous, that no good thing will God will hold from us because we walk uprightly. No good thing He will hold from us. He said it is His pleasure to give us His kingdom. He delights giving us His kingdoms. Like our parents give our kids and we find delight in it. We find satisfaction. When my mom comes over to my house, she tells me to move out the way. I'm going to cook if you're here for a whole week. Because she knows a little junior loves the mommy's cooking. And you know what? When I sit there and I'm eating, she's smiling and jumping inside. So how much more our Heavenly Father will do for us? How much more will He do? Bible says that men give, this earthly men give, how much more our Heavenly Father will give to His saints, to His sons and daughters. No good thing, God. No good thing He will hold from us. Hallelujah. Give Him praise for that. I'm overwhelmed how God's love been toward me. I rebelled. Many of us did the same thing. I'm not the only one here. I've done things that I regret. But while I was yet a sinner, God loved me. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, that I may be stand here before you today and testify how good and faithful He is. I stand here as a servant, first to Christ and to my pastor. I love to serve. I love to help. That's my desire. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, become a servant of all. So I want to be great, but in His sight, in no one else's sight. Hallelujah. Well, I skipped my notes. I did that last week too, but it's kind of difficult being up here. I stand behind this one. I don't go over there to the front like brave Sister Andy or brave Pastor Seaton or anybody else who goes up there, because I'm here and I'm a short guy. If you guys want to throw something at me, there's a good chance he might miss. My wife says you can't see me from back here. Okay, let me go back to my notes. Like I said before, set our focus in our hearts and our minds on Jesus. Give Him your heart totally. We sang that song. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Lord, I live for you alone. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run through and fro, seeking the heart that is completely His. Give your heart to God. Say, Lord, use me. Like in Eli and Samuel, when God was calling Eli, called him three times. Samuel told him, go. If the third time he called, all you have to do is say, here I am, Lord. Your servant listens. Jesus said in the Gospel of John 12:32, if you want to turn there, you can. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto myself. This refers to the cross of Calvary through His death and resurrection. Christ would draw all people to Himself. That's why you and I are here today. It's not by coincidence. It is by appointment. Especially if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. God has appointed you to be here this day to hear His word and to give your heart totally to Him. Without regard of nationality, ethnic affiliation, or status. The word draw renders a form of legal Jewish acquisition. Through the cross, Jesus acquired or took legal possession of all by drawing to Himself that which is rightfully belongs to God. That's you and I again. See, when He died on the cross, He saw us. That was His motive. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, laying aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. The joy that one day we will come to Him. You know how I look at it, as I was thinking that, I said, He must have seen the vision. He must have seen the end result. And I look at Abraham. When God asked him, bring your son, the promise I gave you, bring him over. And I want you to sacrifice him for me. And the Bible says that, as we read before, that Abraham went, prepared the altar. But Abraham knew God. He says that God Himself, when I read that, Himself will provide. Himself. He saw Christ Himself. And one thing the Bible says that made me realize the walk that we're in, he said that he saw, he was able to get Isaac back in a figure of sense, like a vision. He knew that if it would have come to it, God would have brought him back to him. See, when God gives us a promise and we operate in faith, we can see the end result. We don't know when, but we can see the end result because it's in our spirit. God has given us each and every one a promise. And it's in our spirit that drives us to see and keep him, not that he forgets, but bring him into remembrance. This is what you said, Lord. Because you know what? Out of confession, our faith. And then Abraham says that he grew strong in faith. Hallelujah. Now, this is a reference to the story in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 1 through 9. Here you can read it, go home and read it. And it says that we see the Israelites, the Canaanites just beat them up, prison them, put them in jail. And while they were prisoners, they said, Lord, if you give us the victory over these Canaanites, and our God was a good God, he did as they prayed. You see, God hears our prayers each and every day. And it's done the day we bow our knees before him and say, Lord, help us out. We have to have that faith that once we get up and stand on our feet and say, Lord, thank you because you've given it to me already. God gave them the victory over the Canaanites as they prayed for it. And here they go. They go back to themselves. They start to complain and murmur. They began to grow impatient with the long journey. We are in a journey. Pastor Zoo tells us every time he comes up here, this is a journey. This is a process. And for us not to grow weary or tired or impatient, it says that we ought to have faith and patience. Hallelujah. It says they also began to speak against God and Moses by saying, you brought us here to Egypt to die. We have nothing to drink. We have nothing to eat. Do you know that they have the nerves to complain to the chef? We don't like this manna. We hate this manna. They had the nerves to complain. I mean, when I saw that, I said, chef, let me. Because God is a chef too, right? He provided the manna out of nothing. Hallelujah. Says they, I'm going to go back out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness. They also complain. I already mentioned that. About the menu. So now God sent a poisonous snake, and they that were bitten died. How many are grateful that God doesn't operate like that these days? How many are grateful to say, you know what? God, you're awesome. Because sometimes, well, I'm not going to say you guys, I'm going to say myself, I complain. But I thank God he's not allowed. He doesn't send a poisonous snake in my way. You know why? Because it's all about Jesus. Jesus stands before him and says, Lord, Father, I die for that one. He's my advocate. Lord, this is the one I die for. I took him. And no man can snatch him out of the palms of my hand. So we should thank God each and every day. Then when we crouch ourselves complaining about our pain, about our finances, about our marriage, about whatever we can find and complain, because I know there's plenty of things about our jalopy cars, whatever they may be. The weight that we gain, thank God that he doesn't operate that way anymore. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary. Hallelujah. Then the people went back to Moses and cried out, saying, "We have sinned against the Lord and Moses." And they asked him to pray to the Lord so God could take away the snakes. So God, who is, again, but God, who is rich in mercy, said, "Okay, people, I'm here as always. I never leave you nor forsake you. As soon as you pray, it's yours." And Moses, as a good leader, went before God and prayed. "Take away these snakes, Lord." God answered Moses and said to him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. That if anyone were bitten, all they had to do was fix their eyes and they were healed." That should stir you up. Because Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I draw all men unto myself." Hallelujah. Knowing that, you know what? The battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. If I were to tell Brother Andrew, "I want you to go fight with the heavyweight champ of the world right now." I don't know who it is. I think Whitaker? Not Whitaker. Anyway, whoever it is. Let's say Brother Eric. He's the champ of the world. And you know you can't beat him. But if you knew that the fight was fixed, that you know you wouldn't come out victorious, no matter how many black and blues you got, the fight has been fixed already. We are winners. We are conquerors. We got to believe that. No matter why, that the fight's been fixed, it's been taken care of, even though we're in a ring that we have no idea or get out, it's been fixed. It's been fixed, church. Go in there and say, "This is not my fight, Lord, but I'm going to do my hardest to run around this ring." Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of John 12:20, I told you, I was getting a lot of scriptures. I was like eliminating some stuff and putting stuff in. But John 12:27, he says, "For this purpose," Jesus telling the disciples. We could go there if you like, just read it real quick. It says, John 12, verse 27, "My soul has become troubled, and why should I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came." If you read the whole text, it talks about the Greeks coming to Jesus' disciples. I think it was Andrew and Peter or someone. I'm not sure. But it was the disciples. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." So some of the disciples went to Andrew and said, "Look, we have these guys who want to see Jesus." And it's funny how just Jesus answered them, said, "The hour has come for the Son to be glorified." These are people who never even met him. Like, what? What is he talking about? And then he turns around and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains. But itself alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." He's talking about himself. He's talking about his death. He's talking about you and I. That if he dies, he's going to gain our fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I skipped my notes. John 12:27, but you could read John 12, verse 20. And that's where it talks about the Greeks coming to Jesus. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is love. Not that, like I said before, not that we love God, but that He first loved us. A love that Jesus talks, that God has for us, is agape love. It refers to a love in which the entire personality, including the will, is involved. Unconditional love. And then there's phileo love, which is brotherly love. Philadelphia, I think it's called, what is it, friendly, some brotherly love, something like that? So phileo love is an emotional. It's based on emotion. God wants us to have that agape love that is unconditional. That is, it comes from our entire being. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, that He gave Himself up for it. That's real deep. Because I stand before you, my wife burns the rice, I don't know if I love her that moment. I don't know. But God tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. It's not based on how she behaves, how she talks to me, how she, whatever she, it's not based on what she does. It's based on how a relationship with Christ, and He gave me example to love my wife and He loved the church. I went to Minister Kyle, and he showed me something I never seen before in this scripture. He said that, I'm trying to think now, he said that God did not command the wife to love their husbands. He did not. And he pointed out something I never heard before. He said, a woman loves automatically. And when he said that to me, I said, wow, that's true. Because a woman is more nurturing, more caring, more loving. A man, all we want to do is just fix things. That's all we want to do. And I'm not handy, so I can't fix nothing. But that's all we want to do. We're commanded to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to be that guy who loved my wife unconditionally. And I'm getting there. She could tell you. I have my slip up once in a while. Let her burn the rice, like I said before. Hallelujah. You remember how when Jesus told Peter, when the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Remember that? And I read that story many, many times before, and I was going back to it, and then, I don't know, I just felt like, I just saw something. I saw the love of Christ. Because you know what? When He came, I saw this. Where's Peter? Where's Peter? Where's Peter? I need to see Peter. I'm looking for Peter. Move. Move. I'm here to see Peter. Guys, seek those that were lost. Where's Peter? Anybody seen Peter? And when he finds Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, you know I do. He goes back, Peter, do you love me? He wanted Peter to move away from the emotional love and to have the unconditional love. You see how God is with us? No matter how many times we slip up, He's always there. He's always us, picking us up, embracing us up, and telling us, I love you no matter what. Yeah, Lord, I did this. It doesn't matter. Because it's cast down to the deepest part of the sea. He can even say, what are you talking about? Because when Bible says when we sin, we can go to God, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the God we serve. That's the God that I love so much. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And another thing I saw in the book of John, I saw it about 5 times. If I looked at it, if I looked for it more, I maybe could have found it. A couple of more verses in it. Because you know, when we come to God, they give us the book of John. Read the book of John. Because the book of John is about a love story. It shows you how much God loves us. And they tell us to read the book of John. And as I was reading and preparing this about the love of God, I found, if you guys want to take it down, write it down, and go home and read it. Which pastors always says, when somebody's up here, go home and do some homework. Okay, John, first one is John 21:20. Next one is John 13:23. Next one is John 19:26. Next one is John 21:7. Sorry. And the last one is 20 verse 2. You got those? One more time? Okay. John chapter 21 verse 20. All these are in John, okay? Chapter 13 verse 23. Chapter 19 verse 26. Chapter 21, verse 7. And chapter 20, verse 2. And a lot of these verses say the disciple whom Jesus loved. If you read it, it says the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. They all came to the empty tomb, and the disciple that Jesus loved was there. And I read and I said, wow. God loved this disciple more than everybody else, all the other disciples. That came to me. And I was like, there's no way. There's something hidden here. Because the Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for we are all in Christ. I noticed that we all know who wrote the book, John. John himself. So he saw himself loved by Christ. And he testified it. The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how we should see ourselves. Jesus loves me more than this guy, more than that guy, because he's personally with me. I saw that and I was like, wow, he wrote the book of John and he described himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, we get a hold of that and understand that God loves us unconditionally. We can see ourselves as he sees us. We can write our story. Maybe in a tomb or wherever we may go, that is the disciple Jesus loved. To me, that spoke volume because John knew he was loved by Jesus. He believed himself. He was convinced that God didn't love nobody else but him. I thank God for that because I saw it this weekend. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like we were singing before, like we said before, we lift them up. We sang that song, Daily Bread. And our soul, I think in the book of Psalms, it says, as the deer paths of the water, so thirsted after thee, O God. There should be continuing. There should be a flowing each and every day we get up and appreciate everything he's done for us. Appreciate that we've been set free. Appreciate that we our price has been paid for in full. That we can come here every Sunday and Tuesday. That we can stand before God and just worship him. Despite our troubles, despite our pain, despite our sickness, we can worship him. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for that. I don't know about you guys. I'm grateful for that. Hallelujah. Oh, blank page. That means I think I'm done. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Look at that. 12 o'clock? I got to call Pastor. Let him know. 12 o'clock. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We give you glory, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God, which spoke, oh God, to our hearts and mind, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, as for myself, Lord God, that I have a determined mind to finish strong. And to understand, Lord God, that your love is not based on who I am, what I do, but because of who you are, oh God. We thank you, Father, for this great opportunity, Lord God, to be together in your word, Lord. We thank you for your spirit who dwells in us, oh God, to bring things into remembrance, to set us free, to give us liberty, oh God. We thank you, Father, right now, Lord God, for everyone here this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, you touch their hearts and minds. Father, we pray for every marriage, oh God, be strong. We pray for every husband, oh God, to love their wife as Christ loved the church. We pray for every wife to submit unto her own husband as unto the Lord. We thank you, Father, we can come together and submit one to another and give you the glory and the praise. We thank you, Father, for healing. We thank you for meeting our needs financially, physically, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for deliverance, oh God. We thank you, Father, we can come boldly before your throne, oh God, in a time of need and receive grace, oh Lord. Father, thank you, Lord God, because you loved us, Lord God, first. And you sent your only begotten Son to die for us, oh God. Father, this day, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that everything we do be all about you, oh God. For that will last to eternity, oh Lord. Father, whatever we may do, if we get together in a Bible study, we get together in any meeting or whatever, that you be lifted up. You be lifted up, oh Lord. That we be about your business. We're about your business and your business alone, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We thank you for this time, Lord God, once again. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.